Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow, is with us now.
Yeah, you're right about that, Hut, with Treylon Burks. You know, eventually it's going to have to be on him, but I just see the and granted, listen, the word potential can ultimately get an individual fired, a head coach
French
fired.
For not good enough.
Yeah, but I do, and I have seen the potential. And to me, if you're going to give him a chance to be your one or your two, you have to approach it as such. I don't think the last coaching staff, mainly the head coach, they didn't approach it that way. Once they got D-Hop, they were like, okay, our offense is going to shift. And Treylon, you get in when you fit in. And part of it could have been the injuries where he wasn't on the field as much. But I just thought they could have got a lot more out of Treylon Burks than what they've gotten in the last 2 years.
I see where you're coming from, except for the fact that before they got D-Hop, they stuck with him as their number one and literally had no one else, Mace. They didn't even address it in the draft until the seventh round. Like, so they're giving us two different messages on him with that, you know?
No, you're like, right.
That's the weird part of all of this. They treated him as the number one and that we're okay and we're set and this guy's ready, and then didn't use him whenever he was actually on the field. There's a disconnect. And again, this could be a reset for him. I don't think that he's some, you know, beta. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's withered away, because I saw the guy play 2 years ago at Arkansas. What he did there is not what he's doing here, but that doesn't have to be all on him. I just don't know. But what I do know is he can only handle his end of it. And he's gone from a player that you mentioned potential. He's got it. But he's also a player that I don't think of when it comes to, okay, here are the factors as to why the Titans are in this game this coming Sunday. I don't look at him as the guy that you are consistently counting on. He can be the X factor. I don't put Treylon Burks in that column yet, and that's on him as much as it is on it's not like the quarterbacks wouldn't go to him. They don't have anybody else to throw to. You know? Like that's on the field. We've got Jameis Winston calling his own plays in the final game of the season for Dennis Allen, but yet the quarterback isn't going to go to Treylon Burks if he's reliable. I mean, you know what I'm saying
yes,
here. But he's got to be on the field, number one. And number two, prior to all of that, I hope he treats the offseason like it's his rookie year all over again with the brand new staff and he's on a different team, because guy's got tons of potential. And I'm with you. Like, he's his 16th overall pick. Like it or not, he's going to be compared to AJ. And he's missing that one. That AJ just had that one chip on the shoulder all the time. He's always got to be pissed off about something. And that's the comparison that I can't make with Treylon Burks, because I just don't know. I don't get that same sentiment.
Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt. I think his mindset, his mentality has to change if he's going to be that number one guy. If it doesn't change, I don't see how
and
he can be
if
that
he had
guy.
That Mace.
Yeah,
if he had that, Vrabel would love him, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll see, because like Vrabel's gone now, so we'll see.
I know, but if he had that energy, that vibe to him, mm-hmm. I think that's a Vrabel type player. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm reading into it the way I am. I mean, Vrabel wants to win games and did. Burks does too. I need to see more there. And it's hard to just count on the fact that he's going to bring it. That's why they have to draft someone that's better.
You can't count on anyone.
I know.
On him to bring it. Why? You know, I can't put all my eggs in that basket.
At this time.
And that was the wrong decision.
Their plan was to even address the position.
I don't think it was necessarily the wrong decision. We're talking with Jonathan Hutton. I don't think it was necessarily a wrong decision. I just think that, you know, like Hutt said, at one point, they did look at him as their number one because of what they did in the draft. But then you go out and get D-Hop, and then the whole focus shifts. So what caused that shift in their focus as far as him being the number one to him now being the number two? And frankly, he was the number three or four on this team when he played. You know, so I get it. I do understand. Quickly before I pass it to Willie, you mentioned outside of the tackle position, what are the positions they should address in the draft, or what are the positions they should address via free agency? Because free agency comes up before the draft, so they can probably have a few things sort of checked off their box before they enter the draft.
I would load up on corner in free agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, they wanted to give Byard a pay cut. I think that's more of a sentiment of Carthon wanting to shift money from safety to outside corner. Because right now, all you're bringing back is McCreary. Of the trio of that top group as of now. So I look at free agency at corner, center as well. There's some free agent centers are available. I'm getting a top end center because without Ben Jones, I felt that was a huge piece missing last year. And the progression of Will Levis, I'm not bringing in a rookie center, and I'm certainly not bringing back a smaller center that we saw last year that was overpaid based on the value of the position. Again, I'm wide receiver, offensive tackle. I'm addressing both areas of free agency in the draft there. And I mean, what are they going to do at running back? That's the other piece to this is what, outside of Spears, what's that other link? Are they going to get the San Fran version of kind of the same type of guy? Or are we going to see a 1-2 punch and like a change of pace type back? I don't know. But we'll have that answer sooner rather than later. And defensively, I mean, linebacker, and of course, on the defensive side of the football, what happens up front? Because, I mean, that's where they have their most investment. They've got to That's to me is on the front end of putting pressure on the quarterback. They've also addressed the corner position based on their defensive coordinator. And I think they're going to invest on the outside there, which will also help the pass rush. And on the offense, it's offensive line first. I think regardless of what they're doing, you can invest in Will Levis by just getting him more protection. Keep him healthy. Keep him healthy. That's easier said than done. But with Callahan as an offensive line coach, I don't think they're just going to, you know, tiptoe through free agency and not address it until the draft. I think this is more of a clean sweep on both areas at the two positions, corner and line, and that's just based on the big hires that they've made.
The center and the other running back to put with Spears really intrigue me, those two things that you just brought up there. Hutt, by the way, we're talking to Jonathan Hutton as we continue to look at this Titans offseason, the free agency period, the combine, the draft, all on the horizon here. So, Hutt, I was thinking this. There's a lot that could shake out in where everything goes with what the Bears decide to do with Justin Fields before the draft. But what do you think is going to happen there? Like, if you were a team, and take the obviously the Titans are not in the mix here, but I'm just wondering who bites and offers them something that's worthwhile, because I can see the Bears being a little bit on the fence here, but they probably won't be able to resist the temptation to grab one of the shiny new toys when you're at the top of the draft.
What does Caleb Williams want to do, Willie? That's my first question. I'm flipping it because his dad is going to continue to chirp. There's going to be drama there. There's going to be drama there. Cliff Kingsbury's the OC in Washington. They have the second pick. Cliff Kingsbury was with Caleb Williams last year at USC. There's something up with that. There's something. Caleb Williams is addressing on Instagram when Kingsbury got the gig. Eli Manning did this. It's possible. Mm-hmm. Like, you can speak your way out of a team drafting, and that brings the value down if you're not into Caleb. If you're going all the way up for Caleb Williams, I would invest in Justin Fields. Personally, Justin Fields though needs a restart, needs a reset. Caleb Williams going to Chicago too, I think, is not going to work because Eberflus. I don't know why they brought him back. I feel like a year from now they're going to be resetting an offensive coordinator and a new offense for their rookie quarterback. Personally. And Virginia McCaskey, great lady, 99 years old. Whenever she passes, this could be a team that is up for sale because they have so many children that are not invested in football that the inheritance taxes are going to be interesting here when it comes up for vote on what to do with the team. There's got a lot of things that are in flux with that organization, more than just the stadium. The rookie that goes to Chicago is in for a long 4 to 5 years, because I think you're in for more than just a reset after year one, like Bryce Young's going through, like Will Levis is going through, like Trevor Lawrence went through. It's not easy to just not be able to progress your rookie year the way you're supposed to in this league at that spot. Meanwhile, you know, feel pretty good about what Stroud is doing in Houston, and he's got his OC back for another year. Ben Johnson continues to stay in Detroit, so Goff is going to continue to do his thing. Point being, it's just I think we're in for a wild few months here because it's the Heisman Trophy winner didn't have that great of a year, far from it, and made more headlines on what his dad was saying about some things than anything else. I'm intrigued because I think it's more than just Chicago's decision.
I think that's a great point. And the other thing that really intrigues me about the whole thing is, as we know, the first round quarterbacks are always a mixed bag. I don't care who the names are or what year they are. As great as you might think Caleb Williams or Drake Mays is, I mean, you just don't know until you get him out there. And you've got Justin Fields, who's right on the fence. You've got some people that are saying he's never going to get there. And then you got others that are saying, okay, well, you know, give him a chance. Put him on a decent team. He's going to keep getting a little bit better year by year, and he is obviously a talent. But this is what's intriguing me. If I'm sitting back there and I'm saying, you know, I kind of like Fields, but I don't want to overpay, I'm trying to use the fact that all the forces are pulling the Bears. It's almost like they're locked into taking a quarterback with the first pick. And so that probably puts them in not a very good leverage position to deal Fields. So what if the offers for Fields just aren't really good? That what do you do then? Could you possibly hold on to him?
No, because you have to pick up his option.
You don't want to give him away, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you would have. He has a 5th-year option that they can pick up, which they have done. But they also, like, he's due an extension. So if you trade him, the team's going to have to extend him and give him the contract. I like his skill set. I don't think he's had much investment around him there. Part of it's on Fields, part of it's not. Again, I'll go back to the whole Burks thing. Fields has got to show it too. I just don't think he's going to be able to show it in Chicago.
He's got flaws. He's got big flaws. Sure.
I mean, I think if I'm a free agent quarterback or if I'm a rookie quarterback, Washington is a team I want to land with because of Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. I mean, you're stepping into a spot where you can have assets and you're throwing the football around a bit. You got DJ Moore in Chicago, but that didn't help out. They didn't feed him the football enough a year ago. New OC coming from Seattle. But, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be available, Willie. You've got Kirk Cousins, who's going to be on the market. Ryan Tannehill's available. Of course, the rookies and Fields. So Pittsburgh's in looking for competition, quote-unquote competition for Pickett. Atlanta is in the quarterback market. There's plenty of teams that don't necessarily have the draft capital to move around and move up to the top two spots. And the other thing too is what do teams feel like about Drake May, who's not being talked about but is the number two guy right now? Where is he on this hierarchy of how close is he to Williams compared to the rest of this quarterback crop? Because that's ultimately what you're judging, and that's ultimately the haul that Chicago can get. Chicago should go with Caleb Williams if Caleb Williams is going to be the guy there, if he's invested there. But I just there's too much chatter every now and then that just following the Manning model. If they want to go somewhere, and that was already out there whenever we thought Arizona's had the number one pick, it was already out there that he was considering coming back for a year based on who was going to have the top pick. I don't think that just goes away in the ether, personally.
I feel like there hasn't been a lot of conversation about any of these quarterbacks outside of Caleb Williams in such an interesting quarterback market.
I'm not energized by this group the way I thought I would be when the college football season started, personally.
I'm with you. I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's just – one of these guys is going to be great. You know, odds are, you know, like if a quarterback goes 1, 2, 3, like it's projected top three picks, one of those dudes is going to pan out. It's all about fit and you have continuity with your coaches. I guess Washington's going to have that, I guess. But again, I don't think it's going to happen in Chicago.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you for stopping by. Appreciate you for working with the schedule change, and we'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Always enjoy this. Have a great rest of the week.
All right,
appreciate
you
too, Hutt. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Appreciate him for stopping by. And I think the idea of spending heavy on the offensive line in free agency and drafting a receiver, the idea of that, of loading up and – whoa. Loading up as I just knock the microphone next to me. The idea of loading up in free agency at a position of need so you don't put so much pressure on the draft, on filling those positions of need in the draft, I understand and I'm on board with that sentiment. I just don't know what offensive linemen there are in free agency to spend on. Because you look at, you know, Tyron Smith will be available potentially in
but
free
he
agency.
Said
he
wants
might
to
go
stay
back
in
to
Dallas.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, he said he wants to stay in Dallas.
Lloyd Cushenberry is a center that could be available, but I think that the Broncos might place the franchise tag on him. Dwayne Brown is another one that could be available, left tackle in free agency, but he's hurt.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at every single offensive lineman that could be available in free agency. I just don't know what you're really going to get. Like, is that the smart position to spend on in free agency?
I think what happens, let's just say the offensive line, because free agency will come before
the draft.
And I think a lot of us believe that the Titans will go left tackle. Now, they could go receiver. You just never know.
But if you pick up a free agent left tackle.
Yeah, then are you looking at – it has to be a left tackle that's young enough that you can see at least 5 years out of him, because you don't want to get a guy, bring him in, you only get a year or two out of him, and then you got to repeat this cycle all over again. So if you do go out in free agency and get a guy, it has to be a guy you see that's going to be on your roster when you head into that new stadium. I always point to that new stadium as that's when the Titans, they need to have their team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl, regardless of how you slice it. When they walk into that stadium, they have to have a team that can compete for a Super Bowl.
What if they don't?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the fans to buy in if you don't have it. You got a new stadium. You're asking people to pay all this money, but you don't have a team that's ready to win. You got to have it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. You
want to get off to a good start.
Absolutely. So I would like to talk about this more because it's interesting how they can potentially approach this. Because free agency comes up before the draft, and you just named it, there's not many top-end tackles or guards, for that matter, that are going to be on the market. And if they're on the market, then either they want a lot of money or there's something wrong with them.
Well, let's continue this conversation coming up next. Free agency versus the draft. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House, conveniently located at Opry Mills Mall. Enjoy beer, food, music, and fun at Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, where it is Oktoberfest every single day. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals right now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Appreciate Jonathan Hutton for joining us in the last segment. And one point that we were kind of breaking down, one point that Jonathan Hutton made was, look, pay the offensive lineman in free agency, draft a receiver in the first round. And I totally see that line of thinking. You know, whatever the Titans decide to do, pay this position and draft that position, whatever it is. One thing that is very clear and obvious to me that the Titans need to do, you have to spend money in free agency. Chad Brinker said on the official Titans podcast, look, we want to be a team that builds through the draft and supplements through free agency. I get that. I think that's the right approach. But that's not the right approach necessarily right now because you don't have a roster that's equipped to do that. You don't have a roster that you can fill only through the draft. You don't have enough picks. You have money. You have the resources. So if that's your long-term vision, great. I'm on board with that. But you have the money. You have the cash to spend, so do it. Spend the money. And if you don't spend the money in free agency, you're not going to be a very good team. You're not going to win very many games. And I think that this offseason is an incredibly pivotal and crucial one for Rand Carthon. That he needs to instill confidence within this fan base. Because it's a different setup this year. I don't think Rand Carthon should be completely off the hook for what happened last season. But it is now your show. You are running this team. You have final say. Rand Carthon is the Tennessee Titans. I think that he needs to show this offseason, look, we're going to do whatever it takes to win football games. And we're going to have to spend money in order to do that.
Yeah, I think they're going to, you know, obviously there's two approaches to this. It's, okay, we're going to be the first team to jump out there, and we're going to try to sign, you know, at least one or two of these top-tier free agents at the position that we need, whether it be tackle, receiver, corner, guard. You know, hell, I can go through them all because they need them.
Oh, not but, enough time.
Exactly. Yes. So they can take that approach, or they could take the approach of, hey, listen, we're not going to jump out there and overpay for individuals.
But you're going to have to overpay. That's free agency.
They don't necessarily have to overpay. I think great GMs, good GMs, look at the market, assess the market, and they don't jump out there unless there's one guy that they know we got to have. If they were one guy away, then if they were that left tackle away and there was a left tackle out there or a cornerback away and Ladarius Sneed is out there, okay, pay him. Pay him. You may have to overpay. Get him because you feel as a team you're one guy away from really solidifying yourself and making that push to a playoff.
But how do you get one guy away?
But
you build your
yes,
team.
But what I'm saying is you build smartly. You don't overpay for the sake of I'm not going to overpay because I got the money. I'm not going to go out there and I hear my son saying this all the time. Dad, just buy. You got it. It's like, no. Just because I got it don't mean I need to spend that money for it. You see what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
To me,
you're not
going to
be very good.
No, you're going. I've seen team after team. We could go down the line with the teams that are consistently good. What do? Either they, one, sign their own players back that they draft, or two, they don't overpay for people. They're just not going to do it. Why? Because they got a system in place. They identify who they want on their team. Are they the type of players that we want inside of our locker room? Are they Titan guys? Are they, you know, Buffalo guys? Are they Kansas City guys, Raven guys, Steeler guys? But we're not going to grossly overpay for you.
But there
assess
are some,
the market.
Some teams that can afford to do that. Like the Kansas City Chiefs don't have to overpay for Tyreek Hill because they have Patrick Mahomes. You
yes,
have
right.
Patrick Mahomes.
But what have we said, though? I am going to subscribe to this. I'm going to stay consistent with this, whether the Titans bill it this way or not. And I think it would be smart to kind of present the Barry Trotz-ism. Right? Is it a rebuild? Is it a retool? Remember what Elliot Friedman did on Hockey Night in Canada? it's kind of like you're trying to set the bar low. You don't have to win this year. You can play the rebuilding card for 1 year. You can't build it for two. You can't do it for 2 or 3 years. That doesn't fly. But you can take this year as a let's see what we've got. Let's find some pieces. And I agree with D-Mace wholeheartedly. You cannot just dive in and overpay mediocre players top dollar, because that's what puts you behind the eight ball 2 years from now and 3 years from now. You got this dead cap money sitting around. You're like, we don't have any. We got to make moves to try to do cap gymnastics. You don't want to be there. I go back to what Chad Brinker said in the podcast. He said, keep an eye on the Costco, right? I just noticed today the Lions cut a veteran safety. I don't know if that's a fit for the Titans or not. Probably not. I don't see it. But there's going to be cap casualties around. Pretty good players that might be a fit that you could plug a hole with without giving up too much cap space. So that's what I say. I want to say, if I'm the Titans, I'm going to take a step forward this year, but I'm not going to promise everybody we're going to fill all the holes by throwing a lot of money at mediocre players.
And
I'm not saying, Carolina, hold on. I'm not saying don't go out and pay market value for individuals that you want. I'm just saying, don't grossly overpay for a guy. And what if he ends up not working out? Then we're going to have the same conversation
then
we
you
had
cut him
about
and move
Dillard.
On and find another one.
Then we're going to have the same conversation we have
cut
for
him,
Dillard.
Move on, find a new left tackle.
But exactly. You caught with the dead money cap. In there. And then we're going to be saying, Rand Carthon is not a good GM. Look at what he did. He grossly overpaid for that guy.
That's why you
and look
pick the right players. That's why you pay the right players.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not just going to pick up a random left tackle on the street and pay him $40 million a year. You're going to find the right left tackle. That's and then it's not overpaying because
exactly.
They're a good player that can help your team.
That's what I'm saying.
If there is a $25 million uh-huh. left tackle on the street that you think we need this player, then uh-huh. you go and pay that player.
$25 million, the market value. Or you may have to pay him $26 or $27. But the
grossly
overpay
no, in free but the agency, grossly, that's what free agency
but the
is.
Grossly overpay for an individual unless he's a quarterback or unless he's one of these stud tackles, then okay, I get it. But there's not a stud tackle. Honestly, other than Jefferson that could potentially be a free agent, I'm not sure any of these free agents, Chris Jones is another one.
I was going to say, what about Chris Jones?
Chris Jones, put those two to the side. There's not another free agent that I would grossly overpay. Now, I need to go back and look at the list again, but there's not a free agent outside of those two individuals. And one of them may not end up being a free agent, meaning Jefferson. Mm-hmm. I'm not grossly overpaying. I will overpay for Chris Jones. But these other cats out here, nah, I'm not overpaying for you. I'm not grossly overpaying for
and
you.
Who's
just
playing
to have
corner?
You.
Who's playing safety? Who's you, playing tight exactly. end?
Understand.
Who's your backup yeah. quarterback? Who's
you're not
going to
fill
tackle?
It all. That's why I'm asking. Let me ask you guys. Do you agree mm-hmm. with my statement that you don't have to win this year? We saw the power ranking, right? They're 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're 27th, 28th in the power rankings. Expectations are low. This is a rebuild. You don't have to win this year.
Do you think Rand Carthon would say that the Titans don't have to win this year?
Yes.
I think that's an incredibly dangerous thing to take that approach.
No, he's not going to say it, but what you're trying to do is build. You're trying to build. And you've got to build smart. You can't just try to impress everybody and pay a mediocre guy top dollar, because that doesn't transform the guy into a better player. I don't care what position you're talking about. And you have too many – you just pointed it out, Caroline. You have too many holes to fill in one off season. They're not going to be able to do it. So be smart with it. You fill what's available this year. You have a good draft. You see where you are next year. And it really, in 2 years and 3 years – that's when I want my team, when Will Levis is maturing, hopefully, into a really good quarterback. Then you have, I think, a chance to win. But this year is a building year.
You know.
But how do you build?
You'd build.
Trying to find bargain players?
It's not
that's
about.
That's how you end up with a Sean Murphy Bunting on a one-year deal, and then he becomes a free agent and hoping that Andre Dillard mm-hmm. turns
it's
into
not
something.
About, it's
you
not,
get what you pay for in this league.
It's not about underpaying. But I don't want to grossly overpay. You know how long it took? That 99 Super Bowl team wasn't built in a day. It wasn't.
And I don't expect this Titans team to go to the Super Bowl this year to be built in a day.
Hear me out. 97, we were 8-8. We didn't have any huge contracts. We may have one or two. You know, I don't even think Eddie got his big contract that year because he was just drafted 2 years ago. And yeah. Steve didn't get his big contract until later on. So we had 97 to build, 98 to build. We brought in free agencies. 99 was the year everything hit. This is a process, like Willie said.
Yes.
This is a 2 year. But
and
you know,
free agency is also exactly, a process. That's also how you build
you
a team.
You are right. But if the old man was still here, he would probably say, don't grossly overpay for a free agent. You build your team through the draft, which they have to do. But yes. Then you supplement that through free agency. You try to
your roster's not in that position to do that.
Not many rosters in the NFL are, but that doesn't mean you. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
The Chiefs are. I think the Bengals are. No. I think the Ravens are.
The Bengals
Ravens,
are far away.
The Ravens paid Odell Beckham Jr. $15 million.
We paid D-Hop $17 million, and look at where that got us. Nowhere. So just pay.
Because the Titans are not the Ravens.
But what I'm saying is you don't have to grossly overpay just so you can say, just to get some production or to win.
You're not
going to
grossly overpay for bad players. You're going to pay for good players.
I am not talking about – even good players, I'm not grossly overpaying for good players. I am going to pay the market value for an individual. Outside of Chris Jones – and Jefferson, who will not be a free agent. But outside of Chris Jones, I am not grossly overpaying for anybody. I'm assessing the market. I'm watching the market. I'm not saying that I'm not going to try to sign guys, you know, once free agency hit the first couple of days. Yes, because I know if I don't offer contracts, then everybody's going to be gone. But I'm not going to sit here and pay $5 million over asking price just because somebody else wants him. No, it's like, I'm going to show you what we got. I'm going to show you what we're building here. Here's the contract. Yes, I'm going to have to pay you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But again, I am not going to grossly pay because I know that eventually I grossly overpay you. If it doesn't work out in the draft, now we're back to this cycle again. My main thing is the draft. I'm supplementing through free agency. And when I'm supplementing, I'm not trying to pay guys over what their play said they're truly worth. That I'm not doing because I always got the draft and I expect these young guys to come in here and be ready to play.
And that would be great. Mm-hmm. But you have too many holes to fill and not enough draft picks.
But you're not going to fill it with just one guy grossly overpaying them, are you?
I'm not saying you pay one guy. I'm saying you pay a lot of different guys because you have a lot of needs.
Teams don't. The last team that tried to do that, when they tried to pay a bunch of people, now St. Louis, not St. Louis, but L.A., they sort of got away with it because
they won a Super Bowl. They did get away with it,
but because they had core players. They had core players, guys that are going to be potentially Hall of Famers, and guys that they were one or two guys away from really getting over that hump. So they they overpaid for the cornerback Jalen Ramsey.
He's a really good player.
They overpaid for who else did they
but
overpay
why is
for?
That overpaid?
A receiver. Because they were Ramsey only one or two guys away from winning a Super Bowl.
I don't think
felt.
That's overpaying. If they helped you win a Super Bowl and they were a really good player,
but it's still overpaying.
They were on the verge of winning a Super Bowl. The Titans are not. The Titans, you just
they
read
were
the
close.
Power rankings last week. Carolina, they're 25th.
Because that's what the Rams needed. And you need
but the Rams,
a left tackle.
The Rams were a good
so it is
team
not
that
overpaying
been...
if that's what you need.
I'm not overpaying Caroline, for a left tackle when I could go in a draft and give me a left tackle for the next 10 years that I'm underpaying.
The Rams
then that's
were
fine.
Awful. The Rams were awful for years. And as Derek mentioned, it took a few years with Jared Goff and the other guys to build up until they were on the verge of winning a Super Bowl. And then they went for it and traded for Jalen Ramsey and traded for Matthew Stafford and traded all their assets to win it. This Titans team is light years.
And they didn't grossly overpay for Matt Stafford either.
So how do you get from where you are to contending for a
Slowly.
Super Bowl?
Consistently building your
invest
roster.
Money. You pay players.
They're going to pay players, but again, it's
value.
About paying. It's about paying the right
you
amount.
Pay backups in the NFL. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you invest in your team. We always talk about the Houston Texans, how the Titans could be the Texans, a really bad team that
did
then
they
turns
overpay?
In. They had the fifth highest payroll in the NFL this past year.
But did they over? Who,
they were.
Who
but
were
they
the
were
main
bad
cogs?
For 3 years?
Exactly.
They were bad
but who were
for
the main
three
cogs
straight
of that?
Years? They were awful. three straight years they were awful.
Titans
they didn't go from worst to first.
What? Titans don't have a piggy bank.
Right. They just closed the window on an era with the Tannehill, Vrabel, Derrick Henry era. That era was in the past. They are starting a new era, and so they have a lot of building to do. So I'm not saying don't spend the money at all. You spend it smart.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't spend the money.
But you don't go in there saying, I got to fill all the holes and be good next year. You're patient.
But I'm not going to sit here and I'm running the 400 meters because I'm going to tell you what happens when you run the 400 meters and you jump out there and you leading everybody by 20 meters. By the time your little tail gets to that 300 meters, everybody else is passing you up and everybody else is gone. And you end up being seventh or eighth. I've seen it happen with my own eyes. College, high school, it don't matter. You want to approach this. And I'm not saying, Caroline, don't spend the money that you have. I am not saying that. What I'm saying is I am not grossly overpaying for individuals out there on the market because there's only two guys in my mind. Now, other people may have more than that, but there's only two guys in my mind on the free agency market right now, and there's really only one because Jefferson's not. That's Chris Jones. That's the only guy that I'm grossly overpaying for. Nobody else. Not Kirk Cousins. As much as I love Kirk Cousins, I'm not grossly overpaying for him either. I will give you market value for your services. If you come to Nashville, what do Willie always say? Hey, listen, come to Nashville, those taxes you ain't going to be paying. You ain't going to be paying a lot of those taxes as if you go to New York or go to Georgia or somewhere else, you know? Yeah. So I don't have to grossly overpay if I approach it from that standpoint.
Well, I don't think that that can be the only selling point.
No, I know it can't, but I was just wondering if I can
get $10 million somewhere else and $2 million in Tennessee, but I don't have to pay taxes, like I'm going where I'm getting $10 million.
I get it.
But there is a number that's real money that you can show somebody, and if their agent is smart, then that agent will not look at himself and say, "Well, you know, look at you. You have to present that smartly if you're the Titans, and you can win that battle." I think that's been underserved, an underserved tool for the Titans, and I can guarantee you the Predators have used that to their advantage over the years, big time. The no state income tax.
What I don't want to get misconstrued is the idea of, let's say, overpaying, like spending $20 million on Stephon Gilmore on a one-year deal. Like, that is dumb. Like, that's what Super Bowl contending teams do. We're one player away. The Baltimore Ravens spending $15 million on Odell Beckham Jr. I'm not suggesting that. You overpay in free agency because that's the nature of free agency. I'll pick out one random player that I mentioned, Lloyd Cushenberry, a center for the Denver Broncos. If he does not get tagged and he hits free agency, that's a player that I'm willing to spend money on. Am I going to pay him $50 million a year? No, I'm not, because that's dumb. I'm going to spend money on a young center that can be my center for the next 5 years. Am I going to?
Makes perfect sense.
It makes sense. But
that's my approach.
But you're not going to fill every hole.
But what does the market? What does the market say for when he? If he does become a free agency, I know that.
But I'm willing to spend more money than any other team in the National Football League if I feel like that is my center for the next 5 to 10 years.
So if he becomes a free agent, and let's just throw a number out there, the market for this center is $8 million a year. Say it's $8 million a year. Are you going to pay him 15?
If that's what I
Hell
have to,
no.
If that's what I
Hell
have to
no,
spend.
Hell no, I'm not paying him.
Why
15
not?
Million. Because it doesn't make it doesn't right. From a money standpoint, it doesn't make sense.
Why not?
Now if he gets hurt or if it doesn't work out, now you're on the hook.
What of course. If it doesn't work out, then you're on the hook. If
and center
doesn't work
is
out,
not a,
you're
a,
on the hook. If Will Levis doesn't work out,
center,
you're on the hook.
Center
that's
is not
football.
A, center is not one of those positions that, okay, so I'm going to be paying my center 15, and I just threw that number out there. But right. I'm going to be paying my center $15 million, if indeed that is the case. And then I'm paying my left tackle what?
As much right. as I need.
That's the thing. There are other centers. You could find other centers.
You could probably find a really good center out there that you don't have to pay.
That was an example of a player at a position.
I know. And I just threw a number out there, too. So.
But you get, the point is, that guy might be perfect. But you have to get him at the right price.
Exactly.
Or you move on. You see what you can get at the right price. If you make a habit of overpaying guys, it will burn you when it's time to be good. And Will Levis is third,
fourth year. And then you end up with Andre Dillard
year,
at left tackle.
You've got to be.
Okay, if they end up with a Dillard type of player, we're going to be in this room and we're going to be calling for Rand Carthon to get fired. Because we're going to say, he overpaid for that guy. And then we just, what do we do then?
But if he's a good player, are we going to talk about that player being overpaid?
Oh, yeah. If he doesn't work out, I'm still going to say he's overpaid.
If he's a good player that works out, I will not complain about how much money that player is making. Now, that mm-hmm. is the job of Rand Carthon,
yeah.
to pick the right players. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kansas City's complaining about how much money they're paying Patrick Mahomes. If it's
I don't
the right
think
player.
The quarterback is different. The quarterback is outside
it's an example,
of everybody else.
But yes,
yeah.
for mm-hmm. sure, the quarterback is different. If it's the right player, and that's your player for the next 5 to 10 years, mm-hmm. we're not talking about overpaying. That's why you pick the right players. You're not going to throw cash at just anybody. You pick mm-hmm. the right players, and you pay your price. We'll continue the conversation coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tomorrow it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. And if you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, then you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Caroline, Willie, D. May, stay tuned into 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Eastern Kentucky at Hawkins Field with the pregame at 4:15 p.m. and first pitch at 4:30. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. We're getting your thoughts on Titans free agency. What should the Titans approach be? I know Chad Brinker said on the official Titans podcast, we want to be a team that drafts well and supplements in free agency. And I think that's the right approach. But your roster is just not in a position right now to build through the draft. You don't have enough picks.
Well, they're going to have to, Caroline, build through the draft and supplement, as he said. I know it's hard. It may be harder to do because of where the roster is now. But that's why, you know, they got to find a way to message this, the right way, because it's going to take some years to build this roster back up, mm-hmm. whether it be, you know, overpaying, underpaying, drafting, whatever. It's going to take some years to build this roster back up.
Wes in Clarksville, Texan, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, do you take into account this year that you have to pay your quarterback in a few years? So wouldn't it be better to pay players now so you can afford to pay Levis if he turns out to be good? I don't disagree with the sentiment in the slightest, mm-hmm. but I think the real question is, or the real point is, if Levis turns out to be good, you need to figure out if he is good.
Yeah.
And we don't know what he is right now because he doesn't have protection. He doesn't have enough weapons to throw to. Mm-hmm. You need to put him in a position where you can say, okay, now you are in a more opportune position for us to evaluate you. And if we put all these pieces around you and you're still not good enough, we got to find our next quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, however you choose to do it, you have time to do it because you're not paying the quarterback top tier money. Mm-hmm. So however you choose to do it, then by all means do it. But again, I go back to, you know, if you want sustainability, long lasting sustainability, then it has to be through the draft. Yes, you're going to have to pay some players via free agency. But I am not going over and beyond for an individual not named Chris Jones. Mm-hmm. So because eventually, we got to do this, and the teams that are consistently, you know, in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl, talk to the Super Bowl, they do it. That's the way they do it. They build
the draft,
sign their own players, and supplement. And they may have to pay one individual.
Oh, you
got to
pay more
money.
Than
yeah.
one.
But some teams try
but
to really
you know,
play one.
You identify. Yeah, uh-huh. You identify the areas. Show me a team that year after year dumps a lot of money on the first day of free agency, I'll show you a struggling team. Case in point, just look at the New York Jets year after year. They have fallen into that trap so many times. So many times. It just doesn't, it's not the way to build a winner.
And I'm with you. And I'm not asking the Titans to overpay in free agency every single year, because you're right, Willie. The Jets do dumb stuff. Like, the Jets do some dumb things. I'm not asking you to spend overpay for mediocre players every single year, and every year is a go-for-it year. I'm saying this year, you have the resources.
Yeah.
Spend them. You don't have to put it in your savings account.
Hey, just because I got it don't mean I need to spend it all.
Why not?
Because it's the fact of, listen, there's not enough good players for me to spend it all. There's just not.
And you need more good players.
Yeah, you need more good players, but there's not enough good players of that caliber that I need to be spending all of my money to try to get those players. Again, I go, and there are some good players in this year's free agency, and there will be more once guys start getting cut. But as it sits now,
I don't want to build my roster with guys that weren't good enough anywhere.
No, it's not. It's not about them being good enough anywhere else. It's about I was listening to Jared's show yesterday. It might have been Jared's show, and he was talking about, you know, why do players get released, and, you know, money, you know, getting older, and he said something else. A lot of these there's a group of these guys that will be released come March, maybe even later in the year, close to June. D-Hop was one of those guys that got released a little bit later. There's going to be guys that get released, not because they can't play, but because teams are not willing to pay them the money. So you got free agency, you got the draft, and then you got the back end of free agency. And the back end of free agency doesn't mean these are bad players. It just means that now teams look at their salary cap or whatever, and they deem like, man, I wish we could keep you, but unfortunately, we got to move on from you. And they're still good players that can play good football for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Totally. And I think D-Hop is the perfect example of that. I can't go into the draft hoping and praying that the second wave of free agency is going to give me the extra pieces that I need. If you get good players, great. But
Caroline is clearly scarred from the Dillard experience. And I don't blame you.
Is anyone not? But,
I don't blame you. I get it.
Ask Will Levis how he feels about the Andre Dillard experience.
Right. But it doesn't mean that that philosophy doesn't ever work. Right. It does work a lot of times. And that's a lot of times how you build a good roster. You find the right guy at the right price.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. All right, coming up next, speaking of Will Levis, some shade thrown at Will Levis. And we will discuss coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.